Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
You know, I got a really good phone call last night. A man named Jeff from up north been calling me. Anthony's been calling for several years now. And when he first started calling, he was really, really in an extremely bad situation. Some things had happened in his life, and he was down and out, really down and out. He's called consistently for probably 3-4 years, best I can remember. And he won't call too often, but anyway, got a call last night, and he said he's doing a lot better. You could tell by his voice. And then when we were hanging up, I asked him if I could pray for him. And when we were finished, he said, "Brother, can I pray for you?" And so that's a real indication that God is really moving in his life. And you know, there's just nothing God can't bring you through if you just seek him. Of Uzziah, King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26:5, the Bible says, "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Amen. As long as we seek the Lord, God will make us to prosper. There's a lot of people that have a wounded heart. They've been wounded by a man or a woman or a leader or a pastor or something, an evangelist, whatever. And I got good news for you, that if you'll keep seeking God relentlessly, like David, the man after God's own heart, who said, "My soul followeth hard after thee, O God." Psalm 63, verse 8. David also said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Psalm 57, 7. David also said in the 27th Psalm, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." Just one thing. It's my all-consuming passion. "One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord." Then right after that, he said, "When, Lord, when you said to me, 'Seek my face,' my heart said unto thee, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.'" Hallelujah. Now that's a man that's going to be brought by God out of anything that comes his way. David was a man who, though he was the best king in Israel ever, and the Messiah's in his lineage, David sinned. But David knew how to repent and to continually, relentlessly seek God. Though he had a time of backsliding, David got up, and David kept seeking the Lord. And God delivered him. David cried out to the Lord. Psalm 51 is David's psalm of repentance. Let me read you something somebody sent me this week. I believe this will be a blessing to you. This came from, I guess it's a group called Sidewalk Saints. Listen to this. Tell me if this gives you a little hope, beloved. "Jacob was a cheater," it says. He sure was. His name was
Supplanter.
Supplanter. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a bad temper. David had, and it says, an affair. David committed adultery. God doesn't call it an affair. He says it's adultery. I need to reword that. David committed adultery. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer, or Saul. I think they left Moses out, because Moses was a murderer too. They got him down here in one of the last lines. Gideon was insecure, it says. Miriam was a gossiper. Yeah. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Moses also killed a man. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. Lazarus was dead. Now, what's your excuse? Can God use you or not? It continues. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Unquote. Amen. That right there is a hope-giving reality. None of those people that sinned, as we read here, and there were many others that did, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of them had the sin, they chose the sin. But in all that, God redeemed them and restored them. And the Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. So Paul had a revelation of the grace of God, and the active working of the grace of God working in him. He starts off 1 Corinthians 15:10 by saying that he is what he is. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If there's any good in him, in other words, it's from the grace of God. He took no credit for any good. Paul cried out to the Lord, and it's written in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 24. Verse 18 of Romans 7, the Apostle Paul said that there was no good thing that dwelled in me. No good thing. None. That is, in my flesh. The only good thing about us and in us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the daily cross that we're to take up in denying ourselves, taking up a cross and following Him, brings about this revelation in our own spirit, little by little. In ministry, think about it. Moses killed a man, right? Everybody remember that? And then Moses was used by God to lead millions of God's people out of Egypt after Moses killed a man. Does that breathe any hope into you? We serve a God who is a God of restoration. I'm in no way justifying sin. I'm just stating facts. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I don't think there's a worse sin that can be had. I don't think anything's worse than that. Denying Jesus Christ openly after walking with him for 3.5 years. And Jesus forgave him. Jesus said that Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Amen.
And when thou art converted, go and
strengthen your brothers. Thank you. I was forgetting that part. That is in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, I believe it is. After Peter had fallen, Jesus said, when you are restored, Peter, go strengthen your brothers. Friend, listen, if you've fallen recently, if you've fallen anywhere in your past, and if you can hear my voice, that fits you and that fits me. The good news is that God is not finished with you. Now, as far as that disqualifying a person from being an elder or bishop in the body of Christ, that may be a fact, but God is not finished using you. And that's what he wants to do. If any man will purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. Amen. And fit for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. Jesus said to Peter, once you're restored, once you're converted, go strengthen your brothers. Go do ministry. Go pour out the lavish grace and mercy and love that I'm going to bestow upon you that you don't merit, but I'm going to bestow it upon you and restore you. Go pour that out on your brothers. Amen. Go edify your brothers. And you know, the more we grow in the Lord, the more we realize just how much it's Him as He uses us and just how little it is us. Amen. Jesus told His disciples in the end of Mark 16 to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That command is to you and to I. If you name the name of Christ, God has called you to be integrally involved in the Great Commission. Somebody has to bring the gospel to this generation. And that somebody is you and it's I. The world isn't going to get the world saved. It's going to be you and I that lead them to Christ, that plant the seed, the incorruptible seed of the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that puts us in a place of separation with God. But the good news is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5. Amen.
I was going to, beginning what Todd talked about seeking the Lord in 1 Chronicles 16, 11, it says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Mm-hmm. Tying this into Philippians 4, 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yes.
I mean, we seek the Lord and His strength because He is the only one that can strengthen us. Even Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 that His grace is sufficient.
Amen. It is sufficient.
In Paul's weakness, in our weakness, in our time of need, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That when we're weak, He is strong. And same here in Philippians 4, beginning of verse 9, those things that Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, going down to verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, basically, as it says in James 1, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that not have anything you want, but be patient, waiting on the Lord, but diligently seeking His face and His strength. It says, for not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Amen.
I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then the key verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when we are weak, when we are in need, when we are suffering, knowing we are called to suffer, those who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution, and we will suffer and suffer need. But He is our strength, and it says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 11, seek ye the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually.
Amen. Continually. And that's a word that keeps reappearing in the book of Daniel. Daniel continually sought the Lord. There is nothing in our lives. Friend, if you listen to me, if there's a sin that seems impossible to you, I got good news for you. If you've called upon the Lord and you're saved, the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. And then it says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey, His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It is essential that you begin today yielding yourself to the Lord more fully. In fact, upon hearing this message, you are going to receive more deeply Christ, or you are going to push him away. And I would beg you, friend, to humble yourself this hour and call on the Lord. I don't care how close you think you are to the Lord. God wants you to be closer.
Amen.
There is nothing that God can't bring you through. Nothing. I have seen a lot. I don't talk about it a lot, but I have seen some extremely difficult years. But they've been the most fruitful years of my whole life. Because when we're weak, as Anson was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, when we are weak, then are we strong. You see, when we're weak in ourselves, when we're decreasing, God increases.
Yes.
And his power is infinite. There is no measuring the power of God. Now unto him, Paul wrote, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, his divine power, that worketh in us. Right before that, the Apostle Paul said that he prayed for us, that God would strengthen us by the might of his Spirit in our inner man. Ephesians 3:16 and 3:20. Now, why is God allowing these things in our lives? He's allowing them because he wants all the idols out of our hearts. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. Okay? They set up idols in their hearts. They set up false doctrines that convey the image of a false Christ. People are doing this all around us. Over 90%, I would estimate at least, of all who name the name of Christ do not have the image of Christ that is coming straight from the Scriptures. You see, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is conveyed to us by the Holy Ghost in our hearts, upon the canvas of our hearts, through the Word of God. Jesus said these words, "They are they which testify of me." They reveal Christ, the living Word of God. But there are so many notions, so many philosophies, so many pagan, New Age teachings that are being espoused by the false shepherds of our day, who make up the vast majority of all who lead, or should I say mislead, and individuals, this may include you, my friend, who have refused to get into God's Word, are being completely misled, beguiled, and seduced to believe in a false Christ. And if they don't repent and begin to love the truth, God is going to turn you over to a strong delusion so that you will believe a lie and ultimately be damned. You know, the Lord is extremely, extremely concerned, to say it lightly, about whether or not you love his truth. He gave you his truth in his word. If you don't have a King James Bible, I want to encourage you to do so. All the other new versions are absolutely corrupted. Anybody who's going to defend them is also corrupted in their own heart. They have the spirit of error in them. If you want to find out more about this, go to safeguardyoursoul.com and click at the top on the Bible versions button.
Ephesians 5, verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." As Todd's asking you, or all of us, do we love the truth? And then the next verse is key. After we've been taught of the Lord Jesus, because he is the only way, the truth, and the life unto the Father, that we put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God, not after us, we, our works apart from the Lord are as filthy rags, but all our works that God created and ordained for us to do in Christ Jesus, he prepared beforehand that we should walk in Ephesians 2:10. are all in God and wrought in God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's created in righteousness, which is only through Jesus Christ, and true holiness.
Amen, brother. That's Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24.
Oh,
now, you know, in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul says a few things. Let's pick it up in about verse 17 of Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, part and parcel with following Christ is going to be suffering. It was quoted earlier, 2 Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, also Philippians 1:29, we're called not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. Romans 6:7 says, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The flesh must die. That's going to be the core suffering, is following Christ by crucifying self-will and all that is of self, and saying and crying out to the Lord. This should be the way you begin every morning. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And let me just talk to you as a friend, as a human being for just a minute, as a fellow disciple and friend. You are going to wonder what took you so long when you begin to release your life into the hands of your Maker, your God, your Redeemer, and the soon returning Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to experience the freedom that only God can give you. Now, I don't want to tempt you to just seek God and just obey Jesus just so you can experience the thrill of the liberty. But I'm going to tell you, that's going to be the fruit of it. The scripture says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And that's only going to happen if you continue in his word. It's only then that you are his disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is going to progressively free you to be fully abandoned to the Lord. The Bible says, stand fast. Galatians 5:1, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with any yoke of bondage.
And as Todd just read verse 17 of chapter 8 of Romans, and if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A reference verse for this verse is 2 Corinthians 4:17. Basically, it encompasses our whole life, or our whole experiences as believers in Christ. For our light affliction, light affliction.
Amen.
Because we are, our lives are but a vapor, as James says, book of James says. Our affliction is but for a moment, which is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yes. And you know, the exhortation there and throughout Scripture is, don't give up now. Listen, the sufferings of this life are not to be compared, we just read, they're not to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. That's Romans 8:18, isn't it?
Yes.
Read that again, brother, if you will.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Woo! All right, let's hold our place there. Let's go back to where you were in 2 Corinthians. I was over there too. You read verse 17 of the fourth chapter. Let's read this. Verse 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes this. For which cause we faint not, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he calls it a light affliction, which is, and Paul suffered extremely. He's got two or three resume chapters here in 2 Corinthians alone of the things he suffered, and it was very, well, in terms of man suffering, Paul suffered a lot. He was left for dead. He was actually killed, and they raised him from the dead. He was left at sea. He was beaten I think it's
thrice,
39 times, 3 times, 30 times 39 stripes each. For our, and many other things that Paul suffered. Paul suffered the abandonment of all that were with him. He said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18. The Lord will always be with those who are with him. Amen. The Lord is with you as long as you be with him. 1 Chronicles 15:2. Okay, if you reject God, God's not a sap. He's not going to chase you down and, oh, please come back. No, we don't understand anything if we believe that. That's a Calvinistic diabolical lie. That's a picture that we get from the evil heresies of Calvinism. We need God. He doesn't need us. The Bible tells you and I to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. And I'm praying right now that if you're listening to this message, that both you and I will be absolutely filled with the fear of God. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. My friend, do not miss out on the eternal glory that awaits all who get saved by the Lord and endure to the end. Jesus warns the church of Philadelphia. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 12, Revelation 3 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, Jesus is speaking of this New Jerusalem, where his true body, those that get saved and stay saved to the end, are going to be with him. Now, this is the bridal chamber of the true bride of Christ. Now, remember in Matthew 25, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins. And only 5 made it. Some of you listening to me right now are not going to make it because you're going to run out of oil. You're going to allow the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things to choke out the word of God. And you're going to fall away, as the Bible prophesied, that in the last days there will be a great falling away before the coming of the Lord. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're to, from such, turn away from those people. If somebody's not on fire for the Lord, they are like a wet blanket upon your life. We have to be equally yoked together. If you've hung around with somebody long enough and they're not on fire for the Lord, they're not seeking the Lord, they're just dead wood, if you will. They're just freeloading. They don't contribute anything except lethargy and a spirit of lethargy. You need to get away from them. They have backslidden and they're lukewarm. They've either already been spewed out of his mouth, out of his body, rejected from the body of Christ by the Lord, who is the head of the body, or they will be. And they certainly will be in the end. Jesus said, if you've left your first love, Revelation 2, 4, and 5, that it is absolutely mandatory that you repent and return to your first love and do the first works.
Amen.
And that is win the lost to Christ. If you don't have a passion to have lost people get the word of God and be saved, you need to get saved. You hear me? You're ashamed of the Lord, you're backslidden, and you do not know him. I'm telling you that in order to wake you up, because you're in big trouble. If you call yourself a Christian and don't want to see and aren't active about helping other people, somewhere or the other, get saved, you are in big trouble. You're lukewarm. You will be spewed out of his mouth. You've left your first love. There is no way that any human being can be saved and not want to see other people get saved. Somebody wisely said that salvation is the only thing you have to give away to keep. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of you also will I be ashamed when I come in the glory of my Father with the holy angels. That's Mark chapter 8, verse 38. This is a light affliction, beloved. You're not here in this world to see how much you can lay up, how you can get the next thing for yourself and all this other foolishness. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing people that are wanting this and they just bought that and they all of this fleshly stuff. They call themselves by the Lord's name and they take his name in vain because they really don't know him, because they have no fire, they have no works, no fruit in their lives that testify to a person that's truly walking with the Lord. But they've got all this time, money, energy, everything else to go make more money, get a better education, build a bigger house, get a better car, spend more money on vacations, but they have no money to contribute to the gospel. They have no time and effort to get anybody saved. There's something wrong. That's the fruit of a lost person, not a saved person.
Jesus told these people that are trying to please others by what they gain in this world, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Jesus also says, a man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesseth.
Not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Amen. A man's life or his significance is not equal to what he has in this life. Jesus said many would have the word choked out of their lives. By what? By the lust of other things. Deceitfulness of riches and a love for the things of this world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world and the things of this world, 1 John 2, 14 through 17, see, he ends that passage by saying the world, this fleeting world system, passes away. It's going to be gone like a vapor of smoke forever. It won't even be remembered by the righteous. It passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God. Being with the Lord eternally is conditional. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you're not a doer of the word, you're deceived. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Jesus gave you a command, my friend. If you name the name of Christ and he has saved you, and that command is to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and to be a sender and a goer.
Jesus said in John 15:13, no man hath greater love than this, and lay his life down for his friends. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was describing himself to lay a life down for his friends. But the next verse is who he says he died for. Who are his friends? He says, and ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do.
Amen. Doing the will of God is proof that you truly know him. Doing the will of God and trying to perform the will of God outside of a relationship with Christ is futile. But if you and I really have a relationship with Christ, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, we will do what he said to do. We will search his word daily. Daily. I told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. A dear sister recently asked me what she should be looking for. She's a single sister, unmarried, I should say, what she should be looking for in a godly man. I said, well, first of all, if he's not in the Word every day, if he's not eating the Word of God and enamored with it, run for your life. Jesus said that if you're following him, you're doing it daily. That means if you're not following him the way he said, and that's daily, he qualified it, then you're not following him at all. We are going to follow Christ on his terms, or we're really not following him at all, and we're totally self-deceived. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, not from here forward, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, our lives are not our own. We're bought with the price of the very blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Now, in Romans 8, as we begin to read, we were reading there. Let's look at verse 28 and 29 of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? God loves you, but do you love him? That's the big question. See, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the beautiful things that God has prepared for those that love him." Amen. The glorious blessings of God await those that love him. We see this appearing over and over in the scripture. And if we love him, we keep his commandments. Now, somebody might be saying and thinking, wow, these guys are pretty rude. Well, we love you. We're not trying to be rude, but man, you need to examine yourself to see whether you're truly in the faith. Jesus told us he said many are going to be deceived, not a few, but many, and say, "Lord, I did this, I did that." He says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And he says in Luke's version of it, I know you not whence you are. I don't know you in the state you died in. You might have been saved in the past, but you backslid. Friend, listen, it's so incumbent upon us to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to see whether or not we're in the faith, truly. He says all things work together for good. He didn't say all things are good, Romans 8:28. He said all things work together for good. God is so wonderful, he can orchestrate even things that he had nothing to do with happening, because God cannot be tempted with evil. He can make those things come out to your good if you love him. Okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's goal. You may be going through some tough times. The man I mentioned earlier that has been calling for several years now, and he's going through some really tough time, but apparently the man is seeking God, and the Lord is bringing him through. Let me tell you, God's power is not diminished. He communicates this to us in Isaiah 59:1-2. He says, "The arm of the Lord is not shortened. The ear of the Lord is not heavy." Now, it's not hindered from saving you, he told Israel. He says, "But your sins have separated between you and your God." My friend, the sin of not seeking God and having a life of prayer, that's what seeking God's all about. That's what prayer is all about. It's getting to know him who is your exceeding great reward. Genesis 15:1. See, all of these things are happening in your life because God is putting a fire on you. He's cornering you. He wants to get every idol out of your life. He wants him to really be aggrandized in your heart, for him to be your first love, for you to repent of every adulterous inkling in your heart where you have alienated the affections of your heart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought you with his own blood, who saved you, who came, he made you, and while you were yet in sin, he came and died for you. Okay? And some of you listening to me to this point have only wanted Jesus in as much as you wanted him to save you from hell. But you see, that's not enough to overcome sin. You got to fear the Lord. And you got to learn to obey him by choosing to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. That is the first commandment. And when you do, everything else is going to take shape in your life. Praise God. You're going to see the victory of the Lord. Amen. You're going to see the power of God. He's going to bring forth judgment unto victory over all your enemies, whether they be sin, whether they be demons, devils, whether they be flesh people. He's going to bring the victory. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. My friend, you must be busy about the work of the Lord. Start with loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as you do, He's going to empower you to get busy about seeing others saved and seeing others discipled and taught the Word of God. Amen.
Ephesians 2:11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, even before we became believers and were received the salvation unto salvation by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel," or spiritual Israel, of God's chosen ones, or many are called but few are chosen, "and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Then look back at Galatians 4:8. "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods." Even sometimes resembling or building up gods or idols, as Todd mentioned, in our own hearts, to bring us and drive us away from the only true God through Jesus Christ.
You know, Anson, the Lord told us that He is a jealous God.
Yes.
His name is jealous. Exodus 34:14. He is not going to put up with our hearts, affections of our hearts, being set on anything more than Him. We must be boiling over with passion and love and zeal for the Lord. Amen.
And then verse 9 of Galatians 4, "But now, after that you have known God," or rather are known of God, because it says in 1 John 4:19, "He first loved us," because we're able to love Him because He first loved us.
Yeah.
"Or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?"
I tell you what, the Lord is so good. God, there's nothing He can't do to bring you through whatever you're involved in.
Amen.
Right now, my friend.
Amen.
Don't ever doubt the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get in the Word of God, and as you get in the Word of God, your heart is going to be circumcised so that you can begin to hear the Word and be impregnated with it, if you will, and have your faith is going to grow. You're going to be able and enabled by God to see Christ for who He really is. I love Mark 10:27. It says, "With men it is impossible," Jesus said, "but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
"Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Everything that you're going through in your life, God is orchestrating it. He's working it together for the good, so that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. You see that this is the purpose of the great potter, the Lord God Almighty, who made you and who has found you and saved you and showed His mercy on you. Cry out to Him today, my friend, to pour water, the water of His Spirit, upon your parched, dry, hardened heart, upon the clay of your life and your heart, so that you can be pliable and you can be moldable and be conformed to the image of the Son of God, so that He can truly be your exceeding great reward. And you cry out daily for Him, like John the Baptist, that, "Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit."
Even the predestination or predestinarian doctrine, yes, God predestinated us. He predestinated His whole creation of human beings to that we should be holy, as He says, commands us, "Be holy, for I am holy," without blame before Him in love. having been designated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ alone, by Jesus Christ alone, according to the pleasure of His will. And then over here in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, being presented according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things at the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And then, should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And as the verse that Todd quoted a minute ago, predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ,
amen.
Of His Son.
Amen, amen, amen. What a blessing. Listen, we're going to close. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My hope is built on Jesus Christ, as the song says. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then with Him or in Him be found, dressed on His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.